Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. If you have a copy of God's Word today, I would ask you and encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 will be our context today of verses 41 through 47. Acts 2, 41 through 47. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. If you highlight or underline in your Bible, do so on the words gladly and received. We'll get back to that in a moment. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That's revival, amen? 3,000 souls, I don't know. I've heard some people say, well, the church got too big, I had to leave. I don't know what you're going to do there. 3,000 got saved. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. As we've started undertaking live streaming and reaching a lot of different folks and a lot of different communities and some different states even. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about reaching some different areas and all that. I didn't know you could even do this. My wife Marty's been educating me that you could go home and you read the comments, what people said. And I'm like, really? It's like a report card, right? So I started reading these comments, and the first week we live streamed, Matt Morgan, I got tickled because one person said, who is this guy? who is this guy? And where's Mill Creek? Because when they open back up, I want to get out there. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I got tickled, though. I kind of get a kick out of doing that. But the title of today's message, I want it to be a learning experience for everybody here that may be getting a barrage of questions about what Mill Creek stands for, what's it take to be a church membership, what's being a church member, and all that kind of stuff. So I want to make sure we're all on the same page, those listening at live stream as well as those that are here today, what church membership should mean. If somebody came up to you today and said, what in the world does church membership mean for Mill Creek? What's it look like? What's it mean? I wonder how many people could answer that question. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, we just read. This is the first look at the early church. It shows us the traits that characterize the daily lives of believers, or should. It should today steer the hearts of the modern day church. See, the early believers were a people who received the word gladly. Oh my. They didn't just receive it, brothers and sisters. They received it gladly. This is, I believe, a basic trait, the very first trait, if you will, of a true church. I believe it actually defines a church. A church is a people. It's a body of people who have received the Word of God. Amen? We know good and well that the church is not this building. We know it's not building C in the back. It's not building A over there, and it's not building B. It is a group of people. A body of believers is the church. Notice with me. They were not receiving a set of ideas, a set of suggestions, a set of rules, a set of principles. They wasn't receiving that. Or They wasn't receiving human philosophy, a position, or a religion. That wasn't what the Bible says they was receiving. They were receiving, Sam, the Word of God. The very revelation of God Himself. God had revealed Himself in Jesus to His disciples. And Peter, the spokesperson for the disciples, was proclaiming the Word about Jesus. Now pay attention to the word received. First of all, I skipped over gladly. I should go back to that. I don't know how many of y'all are glad to be here today. But I'm glad you're here. And you should be receiving the word today gladly. Amen? Gladly. I'm glad. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen? I'm glad you're here. You go home today and try to talk to a chair for an hour. Just try it. You go home, put Matt Morgan's picture on the seat, and I love him to death. But to look at his picture ain't like being there. But you know what I bet, folks? I shouldn't say bet. I'm not a betting man anymore. What I would say is that a lot of folks took church for granted. You didn't miss the water till the well run dry. We didn't really want to come to church until we couldn't come to church. Not we, some didn't really want to come. They just felt like they had to. But now, man, I can't wait till church starts back. The word received. A true church, a true body of believers, does not just hear and listen to the Word of God. Get this. A true church or a true body of believers does not just hear, Tammy, and listen to the Word of God. I don't know how many of you men can identify. You probably won't admit to it, but I'll just tell you. My wife knows there's a difference in me hearing her and listening to her. Huh? Y'all, can I get a witness? Y'all, some of y'all on camera, you might want to go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah. You know, she could be talking, and if I'm not looking at her, Pam, I'm not listening. I mean, it's just that's the way I'm geared. I've got to have, if Marty Spaulding's talking to me and Pam Hood comes up, I've got to hold on. I can't listen to both of them. I can listen to both of them, but I won't hear them. Well, the word received, they're not just, what the Bible is saying is they wasn't just there to join the crowd to see what was going on. They did not sit with wondering minds about what they was going to do after church was over. They didn't sit there with closed hearts. When you drive in this parking lot, you've got to come in with an expectation to hear a word from God. You've got to come in desiring to hear a word from God. You didn't come here today for the preacher. If you did, you're going to be disappointed. You came here today to hear a word from God, and you gladly receive that word. But these people, they don't sit with a wondering mind or closed hearts. A true church receives the word of God. Amen? They welcome it. They believe it. They take it in. They practice it. They experience it. They hold on to it. They want more. They hungering for it. They rejoice in it. And they share it with other people. The Bible says those who gladly received His Word. Those who gladly received His Word. What's that imply? That implies that not everybody present received it. Right? Not everybody that comes to church receives a blessing. Some were there for the wrong reasons, just like people today in America. Some go to church for the wrong reasons. They come to church with a closed mind. They come to church with really not a lot of interest in God's Word. And still some simply refuse to believe and reject the Word of God. What causes me to have to take two Excedrin is when I hear people say, I know what the Bible says, but. That causes me to take two Excedrin, Kelly. I know, preacher, what the Bible says, but they reject the Word of God in so many words by doing that. But they who received God's word, the Bible lets us know, became the very first body of believers, the first church. So we see today in the early church, God's people loved one another. I'm thankful we've got a loving church. And you talking about a fish out of water, I've been wanting to hug y'all for a long time. I've been wanting to shake your hand, high five you, and now I got you back and all I can do is this. It's called an air hug. High five, handshake, air shake, all that. But they loved each other. And they met to honor the Lord Jesus as a fellowship together. I believe that's what we do here at Mill Creek. I believe we love one another, but we come not for one another, but to come as a body of believers to rejoice and fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. They belong to a local assembly of believers and worship together. I believe people should worship together. There are various purposes today in America for which people who are not Christians become church members. What? Yeah, happens every day. People become church members who are yet to be saved. There are those who become members because, I'll give you some excuses or why they join. They join because they saw their friend get saved and a radical change in their life, and they join the church because of what their friend did. And they want some of that, but they join the church without being saved. Some professional people become members of churches to boost their professional standing in a given area. Many look upon church membership as they do a membership at a lodge. This is not a lodge. Early on, I had a person one time stand up and try to tell me, this is how we do it at the lodge. And I said, this ain't a lodge. This ain't a lodge. Number one, that ain't going to fly because this ain't a lodge. They don't see the real meaning of church membership but attend the services of a church as they would attend a meeting at a social club. Many business people may attend church to encourage the members of the church to patronize their business establishment. Is this why people should come to church? Help a brother out. Is this why? I've been waiting to hear y'all's voices. Talk to me. Is this why people should come to church today? What should church membership mean? If somebody asks you that, I want you to be ready, all right? What does church membership mean out there at Mill Creek? What exactly is expected of me? What does God's word say about it? Well, first of all, church membership should mean that the new birth has been experienced. What are you saying? I'm saying this. There are many church members who have never been born again, and that breaks my heart to tell you that. There are many, many church members throughout this land who have not been saved. It's one of the greatest tragedies, I believe, of today. To be a church member who has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. By the way, praise the Lord, we had one saved last Sunday. Amen. And I forgot that first service. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. But to have your name on a book in the church on a roll is not the same as having it on the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a big difference, and a lot more people have their name on the roll of the church today than they do in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, don't get me wrong. We're thankful for how the Lord's blessed this church. We're thankful from 77 to where we are. God gets the praise for all that. But it's really not about church membership. It's about the kingdom. The kingdom growth. You know, we've got three words over here. No, grow, show. Notice the first one's no. Because without knowing Christ, the rest of them, you got to start right there. Church membership should mean that Jesus has been received as your Savior. Multitudes of people today are seeking to live the Christian life, watch this, without the power of God in their lives. How ridiculous is that? They're trying to live the Christian life without the power of God in their lives. Without the power of God in a person's life, it's impossible It's impossible to live the Christian life. The Apostle John believed that this power was essential in a believer's life. He said this in John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." An automobile can't operate without gas. Well, I guess if you get one of those little smart cars, little electric cars or whatever. I mean, those scare me. Those scare me. You riding down the road in a smart car and hit a deer, the deer ain't falling over. You are. But for the most part, an automobile cannot operate without gas, right? Neither can a person live the Christian life unless the power of God is flowing through them. You know, people say all the time, "I can't do this and I can't do that." God's got you right where He wants you. He wants you to know you can't do it, because with Him you can do it, because with His Word He says, "With me all things are possible." Our lives are to be the channels through which the Lord Jesus can work. Until Jesus is received as Savior, this power will not and cannot come. You have to have Jesus in your heart. It is said that in the ancient city of Troy, there was only one way in, one entrance. Whenever a traveler neared this city, he had to enter the city one way. There is only one way through which individuals can enter the Christian life today. And that is by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, not by church membership. Next, church membership should mean that repentance has taken place. Repentance, what military term? Not a 360, because that means you're going the same way. You just did a donut. But a 180. You're on an about face. Was heading away from the cross before you were saved. I did everything I could before I was saved to stay away from anything religious. Now, y'all don't. I know y'all sitting there, y'all a lot more saved than I was. Because I sit there and before I was saved, I run away from things of God. I run away from the people of God. I didn't want to be around them people. Why? Because they were showing a light in a dark world. But when I was saved, I did an about face. Now I'm running to God's Word. I'm running to God's people. I want to be at church. I want to be around God's people and God's family. So to repent is to turn from sin, we could say, and turn to the Savior. It means to turn our backs to the kingdom of darkness and our face to the kingdom of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. Two times in Luke chapter 13, our Lord Jesus indicated the importance of repentance in life. Listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 13, verse 3. "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Those words burn, don't they? They should burn into our intellect, into our heart, into our very emotions. Like a sword, they cut the soul and speak wisely to the lost man. Perhaps one of the strangest letters in the collection of letters ever written to presidents was received by the White House in years gone by. It was written September 1895 by a child to President Cleveland. This is what the letter said. "To His Majesty President Cleveland, dear President, I am in a dreadful state of mind, and I thought I would write and tell you all. About 2 years ago, the best I can remember, I used two postage stamps that had been used before on letters." Don't y'all look guilty. Don't be sitting there going, "I did that." So he pulled off two postage stamps that had already been used and taped them and reused them. But he said, "I can only remember doing it two times. I did not realize what I had done until lately. My mind is constantly turned on that subject and I think of it night and day. So, Mr. President, will you please forgive me? And I will promise you I will never do that again. Enclosed, you will find the cost of three stamps. Please forgive me for my actions. I was only 13 years old when I did this." In the letter from this teenager, we have a wonderful example
of repentance.
A turning from the wrong way to the right way. As God would have it happen, I was at Rural King last week and picked up some electric fence posts to do a little fencing project. And we was in a hurry. The clouds were getting black and we had to put stuff in the back of the truck. Man, I thought there were things we'd get soaking. Went on the way home, had chicken feed and all that stuff. Well, we went through the checkout lane there, Everett, and new young girl. I hadn't ever seen her before. She was nice and friendly and spoke to me and treated us great. And she run everything up there, Willie, on the ticket. And I said, "Now, ma'am, I got a box of these fence posts." She said, "Just hold the box up. I just need to scan the box." I said, "Okay." So I held the box up. She scanned the box. We was in a hurry, didn't look at the receipt, got home. And my soul, you know what happened? Terry, I paid for one post. One post. Cindy said, "Honey, you owe 49 more posts to Rural King." She said, "That young lady scanned the box, and that was for one, not 50. Well, I got on a phone call over at Rural King, and I know this manager named Bobby over there. She sold me a big metal rooster. I'm the preacher that's got a big metal rooster, so she remembered me. And I called her up. I said, "Bobby," she said, "I know this voice." I said, I don't really have a problem, but you do." And she said, "What?" I said, "Your young lady that's new at the counter there." I said, "She did a great job." I said, "I think it's just a learning experience." I said, "It wasn't her fault, really." She said, "No, it was the person that trained her fault, not her fault." And I told her, I said, "Ma'am, I owe you for 49 posts." I said, "Do I need to come back over today to do that, or can I just next?" She said, "Gary, I don't care when you come." She said, "Just to have somebody call the store." She said, "That's unheard of today." And I thought, really? That can't be that unheard of if the world's full of Christians. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. My daddy instilled that in me before I was saved, Marty. I didn't have to be a Christian to know if it wasn't mine, it wasn't mine. Daddy, I've watched him go back to Springfield for a dollar to give a person. He said, "It ain't my money." I said, "Daddy, you going to waste all that gas to go back to Springfield?" He said, "Hey, boy, it ain't my money. I don't want it." So that was instilled in me. How easy it would have been to say, "Whoa, what a deal. 50 for one." Church membership should mean that salvation is a personal experience. A personal experience. Did you ever put all this together with church membership? Or do you just think, "Well, you just sign me up"? No, church membership should mean that salvation is a personal experience. One day, you remember the Lord Jesus in the Scriptures saw a man who was blind from birth. Remember that story? John chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says these words. "When he had said these things, he spit on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,'" which is translated sent. "So he went and washed and came back seeing." Came back seeing. Can you imagine? Being blind from birth. Can you think about this just for a minute? This man who had never seen the sun come up. He had never seen the morning dipped in dew. He had never seen the sunset, nor the moon, nor the stars. He received the touch of the Master's hand. And now he could see the beauty of all that. When questioned as to what happened that day, the man who couldn't see before Jesus touched him now had his eyes healed and said these words in John chapter 9, verse 25. "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Wasn't that all of us, folks, spiritually speaking? Wasn't that all of us? We were spiritually blind before Jesus Christ came into our hearts. And praise God, where we were blind, now we see. There's a testimony which has been cherished throughout the years by this lady named Esther Pence, who was a faithful pianist at her church out in West Virginia. She gave a testimony that shall be remembered all throughout the time, because during an evangelistic meeting, she got up from the piano stool and with tears in her eyes, she said these words, Joe. She said, I know when I was saved because I was there. That was her testimony. I know when I was saved. I was there. Can you say that today? Maybe you can't say the date, the day of the week, or the year, but you were there personally the day Jesus Christ saved you. It's a personal testimony. The man born blind that the Savior blessed with vision had a personal experience, did he not? He testified to a personal deliverance from darkness to light. Next, church membership should mean that separation is taking place. Separation. For a church to be a true church, for a body of believers to be a true body of believers, there needs to be a separation from the world. A separation. Actually, there was a preacher one time who was sick and in the hospital, and during a visit he told the person visiting that there were many more who were inside of the church who live worse than those on the outside. That's sickening. It's another great tragedy to be a church member who does not live a separated life. What are you talking about, preacher, being separated? Church members should be separated, first of all, in their daily speech. In their daily speech. I'm going to say this real slow, but I'm going to say it real clear. There is no place whatsoever for vulgar talk in a Christian's life. None. I don't care how much it hurt when the sledgehammer hit you on the toe. I don't care how aggravated you was when the lawnmower didn't start. It don't give you the right to kick the dog and cuss the cat. James chapter 3 verse 11 will vouch for me. James chapter 3 verse 11 says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? I ain't never seen one doing that. You either get good or bad, right? For a person who calls themselves a Christian, there should never be cursing in their speech. Big cuss words, medium cuss words, and little bitty cuss words. Well, that was just a little cuss word. If you just remind you, it's kind of like being pregnant. I ain't seen nobody a little pregnant. You either with child or you're not. It's either cussing or it ain't. I don't find any list of little cuss words that's permissible to Christians in God's Word. Amen. Not nary one. I like this little poem. It says, you are writing a gospel, a chapter a day, by deeds that you do, by words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, by the way, what is the gospel according to you? Did you know Christians who use profanity, one day they're going to have to give an account for what they said. All the unpleasant words spoken, they'll have to give an account for. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36 and 37. He said, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I think there's going to be a lot of embarrassed Christians that day. Sad to say. Christians who's used dirty talk, who's told dirty jokes that were filthy in their content, when they stand before the Lord, I got a feeling they're going to be embarrassed. You know, some people cuss so much they don't know they're cussing. I talk to people that talk about, you know, I ask them how things are going at work. Oh, it's going great. I'm just working. I think I'm the only Christian there because everybody's just cussing and cussing and cussing. But, preacher, guess what? They stop cussing around me. Now that just proves a point right there. If they can stop cussing around a Christian, they can stop cussing around people who's not Christian. Next, we see church members should be separated from defiling sinful habits. One of the Apostle Paul's analysis of the old life is given in Titus chapter 3, verse 3. See if this sounds familiar. It should. This is what we were before we were saved. For we ourselves also were once foolish. Can I get a witness? Y'all on camera. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. These habits that the Apostle Paul, he had them before he was saved. Did you notice that? Before he was saved. Before the Lord Jesus came into my heart, I was foolish. I was foolish. I was deceived by Satan. I was lustful. I was living in malice. I was filled with envy. I was filled with hate. I was a mess. But Jesus fixed all that. I'm going to tell you what, it's a whole lot better life this side. Whole lot. There's a story about a so-called hopeless alcoholic. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a hopeless alcoholic, a hopeless addict, a hopeless anything. As long as you got breath in your body, Jesus Christ makes a way where there looks like there is no way. Hopeless alcoholic by the name of Mel Trotter. His testimony was this. He said, "There was not anything I knew about that I had not gone through. I had taken cure after cure. I had made resolution after resolution. I could no more stay sober than I could jump over the moon. I signed pledges with my own blood. I promised judges never to drink again. Went right out and did it again. But just one glimpse of Jesus." Todd, just one glimpse of Jesus, and I never wanted to drink from that moment till now. Notice with me, there was only one thing, one person who could stop this man's alcoholism. There's only one that can keep church members today from defiling habits, and that is Jesus Christ. Oh boy, Jesus did for me what my wife couldn't do, what the law couldn't do, what mom and daddy couldn't do. Jesus did. Now that we have become newborn creatures in Jesus, we should separate ourselves from the habits which defile and which bring a lot of sorrow to the Christian life. I heard somebody the other day said they got saved, they can't even sin right no more. Well, that's good. That's real good. It just came to my mind. The Lord brought that to me. Yeah, I seen it. He said, "Man, they got so saved, they can't even sin right no more." Well, that's good. Church members should be separated to the Lord with their whole bodies. What? With their whole bodies. One mistake that prevails among Christians is they forget that they're not their own. Have you ever heard somebody say, "It's my body, I'll do what I want to"? You better back up, Jack. If you're saved, it ain't your body. It ain't your body. Since we belong completely to the Lord by the right of His purchasing us at Calvary, we should give ourselves to Him. After all, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Lord Jesus gave His whole body on the cross. He didn't just give His ankle. He didn't just give His wrist. He didn't just give His neck or His head. He gave His whole body. His whole life for us. How can we not give our bodies back to Him? For His service. For His glory. For His honor. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20 said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Wouldn't it be wonderful today in 2020? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the Christians presented their whole bodies to the Lord as separate, yielded bodies for His service? Church membership should mean that faithfulness is being exemplified in the Christian life. faithfulness. Unfaithfulness of God's people in the day in which we live is running rampant. The trumpet to call God's people to faithfulness needs to be sounded from the rooftops. It needs to echo its tones into the home, into the hearts of people who claim heaven as their home. Faithfulness. What are you talking about, preacher? What's some things church members ought to be faithful at doing? Well, I'm glad you asked. Church members should be faithful in attending God's house. Like I said earlier, I'm going to tell you, y'all look a lot happier than you normally do when you come to church. It's like the first day of school, baby. We back. Can't hug you, but we back. Need to be faithful. I've shared this in the past, but it fits well here, about the article that was written about a lady named Miss Craig. And the title of the article said, "What's the matter? What's the matter with Miss Craig?" She was from Porter, Oklahoma, age 81. Had not missed Sunday school attendance in 1,040 Sundays. What's wrong with this woman? What's wrong with this woman? Doesn't she ever have company to keep her away from the church? Doesn't she ever have a headache, a cold, a nervous spell, tired feelings, sudden calls out of town, business trips, Sunday picnics, or trouble of any kind? What's wrong with this woman? Doesn't she have any friends at all? Friends who invite her to weekend trips to the seashore or to the mountains? Doesn't she ever sleep late on Sundays, being that's her day off? Doesn't it ever rain or snow or get too hot or cold where this woman's at? Doesn't she ever get her feelings hurt by somebody at the church? Let me stop there just for a second. Please. I noticed something. When people get their feelings hurt at church, they quit coming to church. But they get their feelings hurt at Walmart, they go back. Can you help me understand that? I've had my feelings hurt at Walmart. I've had my feelings hurt at restaurants. I still go back to the restaurants. So what gives you the right, because you get your feelings hurt at church, when 99.9% of the time, the person who hurt them don't even know it? You just took something the wrong way, and the devil run with it, and now you're mad, and I ain't going back. Got my feelings hurt. Doesn't she ever get mad at the preacher on the Sunday preaching time? Doesn't she have a radio or a TV she can watch or listen to some other preachers? What's the matter with this woman? What is the matter with Miss Craig? I'll tell you what the matter of her was. She had old-time religion. Old-time religion down deep in her heart, and she loved to attend God's house. That's what she had. That's what was wrong with her. I love that song, Old-Time Religion. My wife can play that piano, boys. My pastor I got saved under in Florida, Pastor Robert Sims, she would be done playing the piano and done be sitting back on the pew with me, and I had my arm around her, Tammy, and pastor would get in this pulpit and call her back to the piano and say, "I want you to come back up here. We need to play some old-time religion." Boy, she'd get up there and she'd thump that piano. Thump it. She also, this woman also knew the meaning of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, which says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Do you all see the day approaching? Amen. Does anybody out there see the day approaching? Amen. Did you ever think in your lifetime you would see what's going on today? Did you ever think for a moment we would have people running wild like we have today? I got upset this morning. Somebody got politically correct and took Elmer Fudd's gun away off of Looney Tunes. I ain't kidding. It was on the news. They said we're going to reboot all the Elmer Fudd cartoons with Bugs Bunny. And that upset me, Nana, because I remember I was raised on it. I turned out all right. But there stands Elmer Fudd with a stick. A stick to kill a rabbit instead of a shotgun. So you know what I told my wife? I said, honey, I'm going to go out. I'm going to buy all the original ones so my granddaughter knows you don't get a rabbit with a stick, you get it with a shotgun. But that bothered me. Took Elmer Fudd's gun away because some knucklehead said it wasn't politically correct. Rebooting the whole episode. I'm going to buy me some original ones. Y'all help me find them, Marty. I know you will. Church members should be faithful over temptation. You don't need me to tell you, but I will. Falling to temptation in a second can take you years to recoup over one stupid act. Remember what I've always told you? You can choose a sin, but you can't choose the consequence. That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God's faithful when we ain't even faithful. Oh, what a God we serve. He's faithful when we're not faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Woo! See, that's Satan's favorite tool to play on us. If he can take a person and isolate them and make them think they're the only one that's got this problem. Nobody on earth's ever had this problem before. You're the only one that's going through it. Well, we know that's a lie. Amen. We know that's a lie. And by the way, he said he'll always give you a way out, an escape route. You think back the last time you blew it. For some of us, it wouldn't be too long. Last time you blew it, did he not have a way out? You just chose not to take it. Did he not say, close your mouth, but you kept it going anyways? See? Temptation is common to mankind and it will come, but thanks be to the Lord. God is faithful. He is faithful. Last point. Church members should be faithful in laboring for the Lord. Working for the Lord. Laboring? Working? You think there's something to do about work? Man, you're going to tune me out. Forget that. I come to church, catch me a nap, enjoy the AC. I ain't working. Are you crazy? Well, I've always said it like this. God did not call you to sit, soak, and sour in a seat. There's another S. He did not call you to sit, soak, and sour in the seat. He called you to serve. Amen, preacher. Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all quiet. I still got this sign. Should be faithful in working for the Lord. Faithful in laboring, not souring in the seats. One of my pet peeves, Marty's going to a restaurant and they wipe my table off with a sour dish rag. Whew. I'm nice, but I say, look, y'all got to come back over here. I can't eat on this table. I said, give me a rag. I'll clean it myself, but don't give me that rag. That one's sour. You know, as a sour dish rag is stenched to my nostrils, I wonder about the Christian that's souring in the seat, not serving Christ, what kind of smell he's smelling? He give you the health to be here, right? Second Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad." Here's a footnote. If you're serving in any capacity at Mill Creek, I don't care if it's the nursery, children's church, when we have it back again, ushering, deacon, welcome committee, shake it, when we can shake hands again, no matter what it is, what capacity, do it with all your heart. And if you can't be here, do us all a favor and just call somebody. Okay? Because here's the blunt truth. There are people today who have signed up, whether it be for parking lot security or whatever, and they don't show, they don't call, and it makes us all look bad. Like we don't know what we're doing. But you take that same person, they would not dare do that to their supervisor at their job if they ain't there. I got to call. I'm a sick day. I got to call. I'm on a vacation day. I want to call. I won't be here. All I'm asking is, my goodness, if it's the Lord's work, shouldn't He take priority over that in communicating? That's all we're asking. We know things come up. But there's a team leader involved in every team. We don't have committees at this church. I got rid of that C word when I became pastor. It took years to get rid of that. We got a committee for this. We got a committee. No, we don't. We got teams and we got team leaders. Lance is the team leader over the parking lot. Keith is a team leader over the ushers. Call your team leader if you can't be here out of respect for the whole body so nobody suffers so we all can just find a replacement and move on. That's not too much to ask, is it? I'm going to start preaching here quick, pretty quick. Come on, ushers. Musicians. Ushers. Musicians, come on. Everything's changed. I'm still trying to adapt to all these changes. I tell you, we're going to have a time of invitation. Just for a few moments. For those of you that's watching on live stream today, if you have any questions at all about being saved, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to take your phone and text the word saved to the number that's on the screen right now, or by calling the number. There'll be pastors standing by to talk to you. If you are here with us today in this building right now, and you have questions, get those questions answered today. Oh, as much as we want you as a church member, we sure want you a lot more in God's kingdom. We want you saved first. If you have questions today about being saved, I've got pastors and deacons standing by the walls and up front here. I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes, be in an attitude of prayer. But if there's one here today that needs Jesus in their heart, they need to be saved. They need to know they got a home in heaven. Their sins are forgiven. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand. That's me, preacher. Heavenly Father, you know every heart. You know the condition of our soul, spiritually speaking. I pray, God, right now in the quietness of this moment, that as musicians play and Christians are praying throughout this church today, as we remain in an attitude of prayer, God, that if there's 1, 5, 10, or 20 that need to be saved today, I pray, God, right now you give them the energy, that you give them the desire to do it today, that the Holy Spirit would draw them.